been rightly said, I think, that religion begins in discontent. What does that mean? Well, it's stated in opposition to a person who stands in his or her world and looks around and says, "That's all right. Things may not be wonderful, but I see within the world a possibility of improvement and amelioration, and everything is going to come out all right. We just lift up our socks and get moving." On the other hand, William James talks about such people as sick soul, that is the one that I want to talk about. There are people in the world who feel that something is terribly awry, and that sense of awryness takes many forms. Maybe the easiest way to get hold of that is to get hold of those great three ideas that the Greeks gave us, so-called transcendental ideas, when they said that human beings are made for the good, the true, and the beautiful. And I think we can look at each of those and say where discontent could be located. And it varies and it shifts. But nevertheless, the constant is a source of discontent, namely that things are not good. The world is not good. I am not good. And there's nothing that we can do about it that ultimately is going to alter that fact. And yet deep in the human heart is the notion that somehow things should end up good. Or to take the truths. The Greeks said we are made for truths. And the sense that I am not true, the world is not true, the world does not make any sense. And there's no human effort that's going to change that fact. And yet, are we simply desires that are meant never to be fulfilled, or is there something beyond what the world can offer and what I can, by my own devices, bring about? And then there is the notion of the beautiful. It's fairly undeveloped, unfortunately, in philosophical, theological thought, although people like Augustine and Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan divine in the States, precisely defined God as the beautiful. So you look around at the world, yeah, this is fall, the trees are wonderful, it's lovely, but there has to be something beyond this, because the leaves are going to fall and then it's going to be barren. There's something missing. There's an insuperable ugliness afoot in the world. No matter how many minor adjustments I may make to that by creating for myself a little safe environment where things really are beautiful or good or true. So to be religious is constantly to seek for the ultimate source of the good, the true, and the beautiful, which is not within my grasp or not within my control. It is God, what we call this wonderful phrase of Aquinas, it's that mystery we call God. Somehow, ultimate goodness, truth, beauty is located, is real, and does exist in God. See, a number of things implicit in that are very important. Nobody can make those decisions for me. No authority, no dogma, no laws, no statute can say this is not good, this is not true, this is not beautiful, but only I, out of the depths of my heart, can come to that recognition and can move behind that. I mean, again, we can keep going back to that glorious deathbed statement of Cardinal Martini, where he points out that all the institutions in the world are really not religiously ultimate or satisfying to this desire of the human heart. Why do I begin with this today? Because this figure, the blind beggar, was much loved of the early fathers. There are all kinds of sermons on Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. Why? Because they saw that as a metaphor for all of us human beings, or more grandly put, the human condition. We're all blind beggars. And our beggary consists in that incompleteness, that discontentedness that is palpable for those of us who try to be religious. Although it must be added parenthetically that we constantly accept second best. You know, well, I'm not too good, or I'm not too true, or I'm not too beautiful, but by God, somebody else is out there, or we can work this out by ourselves. It's not going to happen, at least as far as the religious person is concerned. It's not going to happen. So we are blind beggars. All of us stand in the world and in our lives as blind beggars. And this also opens up an enormously significant other dimension of religion. It's expressed again in that wonderful prayer of Augustine, who had his problems and was goofy on a number of other accounts, especially regarding sex. But his heart was in the right place, huh? And he prayed, "Lord, let me know myself. Let me know you." So the ultimate location of where this thirst for the good and true and the beautiful is in my self-knowledge, which is inseparable from my knowledge of God. And a wonderful prayer of Merton that I've quoted several times in this place: "I do not know really who I am. I think I do. I dare not expose that ignorance to anybody else, because then they'll get a leg up on me and then somehow manipulate it." No, no. The prayer is, "I do not know where I'm going. I do not know who I am." That is one of the purest expressions of religious self-awareness I know, and points to the direction that religion is to lead. It's authentic religion, because God knows there are all sorts of ersatz, surrogate, phony forms, distorted forms of religiosity. I'll talk about a couple at the end of Mass. But to know that I am blind, to live my life out of a conscious awareness of that blindness, to write tentatively, in other words, to all of my ideas and notions and senses of virtue and senses of what is good and true and beautiful. It's called faith, I guess. The substance of things hoped for, as Paul will put it. So it's very understandable. I mean, we have so bureaucratized and institutionalized religion, I think we have often enough simply cut ourselves off from our explicitly religious roots. We may be institutionally kosher or correct, and we can often enough substitute that for these larger problems of my own self-ignorance, my own unself-awareness. So ultimately it's a message of hope, huh? That out of that awareness, out of awareness of my own blindness, that I do not see, that the search for God is animated and carried forward. And the belief that, as Augustine said, or as John said, or as Paul said, we will know as we are known. Namely, we will see ourselves as God sees us, and see each other as God sees us. Because this is not, and I don't want to give the impression that some kind of Kierkegaardian individualism, although Kierkegaard was a master of religion too. But I cannot think of what is good, true, and beautiful for myself if I do not universalize that. it is, I do not believe that the good, the true, and the beautiful is going to save all of us, save us collectively, then I'm still wrong-footing it. But that God will call all of us to each other and to herself. That's faith. That's the thing that is supposed to be driving us.